Frontier Fighters. Frontier Fighters, inspiring episodes in the dramatic careers of those intrepid sons of courage whose destiny it was to safeguard for posterity the glory of the Old West. In 1827, the American Congress and the British Parliament ratified the extension of the Agreement of 1818, which gave joint occupancy to a great area of land in which lay the territory of Oregon. Oregon was almost a lost country until immigrants followed the missionaries and shrewd Yankee traders began to follow the immigrants. The balance of power suddenly swung over to the Americans because of their numbers. And with the advent of a political year, Oregon, under American rule as a free state, became a national issue. The original agreement between the United States and Great Britain did not specifically speak of 5440 as being the northern boundary of Oregon. But the settlers so interpreted the agreement because that parallel meant all of Oregon would be under United States rule. In July 1843, an Oregon convention was held in Cincinnati.
Convention, we've done a great deal of wild shouting, not a little applauding. We've given undue exercise to our military band. But, gentlemen, to what definite conclusions have we come? We have not as yet declared for any kind of a parallel in this growing dispute between the United States and Great
Britain. The senators from the South, led by their own trickster, Mr. Calhoun, have betrayed us.
That is a lie, sir, and I challenge you for it. I challenge you for it.
Senators from the Middle West, at first opposed the annexation of Texas, a slavery state, until we learned that President Polk and the Southern senators, all of us, would work heartily together for the addition of Oregon to the Union to balance the power of free states and slave states. And now the senator from South Carolina says there is only one issue, the annexation of Texas. I say again, gentlemen, that we have been betrayed by Senator Calhoun of Judas.
Almost upon the heels of the fiery debates in the Senate came the pageant of the Mexican War. It was thought all questions raised by the frontier settlements in the Northwest would be subdued while the conflict between the United States and Mexico raged on. However, in Oregon, the feeling became more tense. Men armed, men drilled, men burned to protect their rights. The whole of Oregon or none was the cry, along with 5440 or fight. But few men knew exactly where 5440 was.
5440 or fight.
If Washington won't protect our sovereign rights, we will.
We can't be with the United States. We'll be independent of the United States.
All Polk does is write notes. We want action. We want to fight for our rights.
Hey, you men, they've mounted cannon in Vancouver, taking it from the warship.
Mounted cannon? Well, we can mount cannon, too.
You bet we can mount cannon.
Stop, all of you. There'll be no mob rule here.
It's the captain.
Now quiet, all of you.
They've mounted cannon in Vancouver, sir.
Let them. But we'll mount no cannon. We recognize this soil upon which we stand as American soil. And we'll protect it with our lives. But God forbid, gentlemen, that we should, by one act, word, or deed, start a war.
With every hour, the situation grew more tense. President Polk, involved in a war with Mexico, turned the entire matter over to James Buchanan, his new Secretary of State. Buchanan immediately opened negotiations with Lord Aberdeen, representing the government of Queen Victoria. The hotheads on both sides of the water clamored for war, but the British cabinet was eager for either compromise or arbitration. The government of Her Majesty had its hands full with military operations in distant Afghanistan and China. A stubborn fight was in progress with the Sikhs in India. There was friction with the Dutch in South Africa and a famine in Ireland. Polk, hammered on all sides, advised Buchanan to sound out the leaders in the Senate.
Well, Buchanan, Mr. President, we're caught between two fires. Many members are opposed to war with Great Britain. Others clamor for war. The militarists in England are crying for the kingdom to arm.
In this extreme moment, what do you advise?
I shall continue to sue for an amicable settlement of this tragically unfortunate issue. You, sir, to save the face of your administration, had better go before Congress and ask for an adequate military force to guard and protect such of our citizens as might think it proper to emigrate to Oregon.
Weeks passed. In Oregon, desperate men, afraid they would become lost in a shuffle of political cards, afraid that the issue had died, decided to revive it and force the federal government to recognize Oregon, even if they themselves started a war. Upon the heels of these proposed desperate actions, the frigate Virginia anchored in Puget Sound. Messengers on horseback raced to meet the boat.
I'll bet there's red-hot news from Washington, D.C.
I ain't aiming to speculate, but I ain't got a feeling it's war.
I'm wondering, if it was war, the United States wouldn't send out just one frigate. Oh, there, boy. Oh, boy. Guess we'll just about meet the boats as they touch the shore.
Ahoy there! You from the port?
Yes, got dispatches?
Two bags full.
Know what's in them? Do we get Oregon?
Under orders not to tell what I know. You'll find out soon enough when the commander at the fort opens this bag of dispatches. It's news that'll change the whole history of the United States.
Gentlemen, attention! Gentlemen, I have the honor to announce that Great Britain accepts the 49th parallel. Hey! It's 54-40, all right, and Oregon is ours, without having so much as fired one shot. Hey!
Thanks to the cool heads of Secretary of State Buchanan for the United States and Lord Aberdeen for Great Britain, a war was averted. And while certain compromises were effected and concessions made to the Hudson's Bay Company, the limits of Oregon were at last definitely set. On Sunday morning, March 13, 1846, Oregon was a full-fledged territory of the United States. Today, in the vast territory of Old Oregon, citizens of the United States live in the closest possible harmony with their neighbors in British Columbia who salute the Union Jack. And both sides, during those stirring days of 45 and 46, can indeed be called trailblazers and frontier fighters.